Heavenly Father, we're very grateful again. Glad the privilege of coming together to worship your great and holy name, knowing we are in your presence, knowing that you are leading us into the millennium, knowing, Lord, that you're here in a way you weren't here previously, that this is that great appearing, we have seen it, and our eyes have beheld, and we thank God that not just our eyes have beheld, but wonders, you've given us an understanding to know these things, revealing them not to the wise and prudent, but to the babes, which signifies true offspring of Almighty God. We're in your mind, in the very loins of God, as it were, and we're so grateful for that. So, Father, may we, dear children, learn your word tonight in obedience and truth, Lord, in love, giving you all the glory, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this, of course, is message number 7, as far as I recall, somewhere in that area, and doing God a service without his will. Now, I want to read some sentences here, and then I'll repeat them so that you will understand very well what is being said, so listen very carefully. It is very evident that in this message, Brother Branham is pointing out who is the qualified and vindicated Seventh Church Age servant of God, rather than how we are members of the body of Christ can know how to serve God in our daily walks. I'm going to repeat it. It is very evident that in this message, that's the title, God Doing God a Service Without His Will, Brother Branham is pointing out who is the qualified by vindication, who is the qualified, vindicated Seventh Church Age servant of God, rather than how we as members of the body of Christ can know how to serve God in our daily walk. It is a sermon on who, in greater degree than what and how. It is a sermon on who, in a greater degree than what and how, though both of those are brought out and very, very strongly. This lines squarely with his message in discerning the body of Christ, wherein the main point of discernment was whether the so-called bride could recognize the one whom God had sent. So this aligns squarely with his message. What aligns squarely? Pointing out who the qualified, vindicated servant of God is in this hour. And if you can't discern that, you couldn't be part of the bride. This aligns squarely with his message on discerning the body of Christ. Remember, we preached that in Columbus. About 14 major points. Wherein the main point of discernment was whether the so-called bride could recognize the one whom God sent. Now, I know you'd have a better idea, like Ford, than the prophet. So I don't think I'd give that the priority. Well, better examine yourselves. You will recall that the prophet also stressed a time and season element, when this one was to serve. Also, 2, the true servant would be correctly vindicated by God. And 3, furthermore, the scriptures would bear it out. So, all right, you recall that the prophet also stressed a time and season element, and that's one of the musts. When this one, that's a vindicated servant of God, you know who the servant is and who's not a servant. And this one who's to serve also, 2, the true servant would be correctly vindicated by God. And 3, further, the scriptures would bear it out. In other words, you could find in the scripture. We saw this to be true because it is the season of the harvest and the time for the return of the Lord Jesus, with the scriptural sign of Luke 21:25-29, 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10, fulfilling the appearing which prefaces the literal physical coming or return. So we saw that over here then in Luke, the 21st chapter, and verses 25-29, establishing the season. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress the nation with perplexity and seas and waves roaring. That's political disturbances and warfare, whatever. Men's hearts failing for fear. Heart disease is the number one killer, I think. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory, And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And with that, of course, that is absolutely what's said over here in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, beginning at verse 7, and you who are troubled, rest with us, relax, when at this time, there's a time. The period of relaxation comes when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. The sign of the Son of Man appearing in the heavens. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. That's part of it. We got the part that's not that part. We are vindicated and avenged. This is part of it, because this is the day of the Lord. When this comes, you and I rest, because we'll miss this. That's what he's saying. We shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall have come to be glorified in his saints, and be admired in all them that believe. Now, what's the glorification? 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. When all the veils are cut asunder and you begin to see Christ in yourself identified in the Word, you begin to take on immortality. You follow? All right, that's what you're looking at. Thus we are in the fulfillment of God's promise for this hour, which is Malachi chapter 4, 1 to 6. The great day of the Lord was the finality of utter judgment, but he seeks and does save a bride, and she escapes. And they take on immortality, while the world and all that goes into dust. Malachi 4, then, 1 to 6, has come to pass as pertaining to the bride, to keep her from judgment on the day of the Lord. So we're going to start reading on page 31, paragraph 160. So he promised he would do it in a certain way. That's what we're talking about. The vindication of this servant in this particular hour where all things are coming together, and you have the ability to know who is that servant of God, and thereby you will escape the great tribulation because you're put on immortality and get out of here. He promised he would do it a certain way, and anything contrary to that he won't do. He's telling you, one way and only one. See? But by his original way, according to what he said in Amos 3:7, which he'll do nothing until he tells it to the prophet and through the prophet. That's the way he'll do it. And that must be vindicated and proven to be right. In other words, you just don't jump because the fellow says jump, or believe because he says believe. There are certain absolutely strict rules in the Bible that are given you whereby you adhere to those rules, the five musts of the prophet laid down, and when you see that, you know you're on the right track. Now, you know what he promised today. Then he's doing it today. That's just what he said he'd do. He'd open the seven seals, and what all he'd do, reveal the mysteries back there, which is part of restoration, how these baptisms and all things had been messed up. Now, watch. And here it is being done, according to Scripture, all manifested in his very presence. Science proves it. The heavens have declared it. Man standing back, looking right at it, and seeing it happen. And not one thing, as he said, but what he made true. That's every prophecy Brother Branham ever gave came to pass. There you are. Just so that you would see where we are today. Following it up on page 32... paragraph 167, he's telling about paragraph 160, the angel manifestation of Luke 21 and of 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse 7. In Tucson, those big observatories took the picture of it. What? The ring of angels with Christ appearing in the midst. Up there, still wondering what happened. What is it? They put it in the paper. Does anybody know about it, they asked. What is it? How could it happen? There's no fog up there. There's no air. There's no moisture 30 miles high in the air. It gets 27 miles across. Oh, my. There shall be signs in the heavens above. And when these things take place, earthquakes in divers places, then shall appear the sign in the heavens of the Son of Man. See? That day, and then this I know not to be William Branham, but this has to be God interjecting. Luke. Not Matthew, not Mark. Now remember, you listen to what the prophet said and don't you try to figure things out or you're gone.
Right off the bat, when Ewald Frank came from Germany and talked with me prior to Brother Branham's death, he had this big beef already built up that he knew something. Well, if you can call living in adultery with women, blaspheming the Word of God, a knowledge, listen, brother, you can have it. Amen. We are not entitled to thoughts. You say, well, Brother Branham gave us very few scripture. Thank God. Thank God. Would you sooner run around with 1,600 jobs to perform, 1,800 solutions, or just one thing? Now, women, listen to me. And I'm sweet and kind, and I'm not hitting you. I want you to understand that. Woman's place is in the home with a husband, a good wife, children, mother, whatever God wants. But ever since the garden, they've tried to run the world, and they made a mess of it. Because they couldn't do one little thing. Come under a good headship. They still can't let their hair grow and take off their slacks. I'm not hitting any woman here because you're doing it. I want you to see the types. I want you to understand what we're talking about. This is all the confusion came into the world because the woman got out of order. And then the man went along with it. And man's always done it. So therefore now you got a complete unity, completely messed up. And we're trying to get back to a simplicity. And the simplicity is this, there are not many scriptures left to be fulfilled. It devolves around one thing, resurrection. So somebody's got to get immortalized. And we got to get out of here. And what do you need? You need to know everything about Israel. All about this, all about that. What are you, some kind of a great student? Ha! Fap.
I've looked at the books like this, big tombs. T-O-M-E-S. You should spell it T-O-M-B-S. Because they're full of dead men's bones. Not volumes. Junk. Hogwash. The Millennial Bible. Yeah, the Lord's Prayer should be, Thy kingdom come, our way and our will be done. Not Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done. They're bereft of, see? Don't look at
Matthew and Mark. He said, look. So when I had that brother Vale kind of throws me. Listen. To the wise and the prudent he reveals. The pedantic big shot that's got to have all the wheels turning. He'll go there and foul up every single time. The little fellow that's the child of God will put his thinking aside and he'll take Luke. Because he said Luke. And that's exactly what I read, and there's where the chronology is right and straight for you and me in this hour. All the others right too, but the chronology not necessarily so. Remember Brother Branham said the scripture is like a jigsaw puzzle. Well, isn't it all right then to throw all the parts that belong over here into the parts that belong over here and mix them up, and you got six parts in one part and eight parts in another part? If that's the way God does it, that's God's business, but everything is there. So, all right, we understand each other. Good. All right, that day, Luke, the Son of Man will reveal himself again. You know he's being revealed. Because the sign of the Son of Man has appeared in the heavens. And people say, well, I don't believe that's it. You don't have to believe nothing. Well, I tell you, explain it. 30 miles high. Tell us about it. Well, I know it's not that. You do? Brilliant. Brilliant. Yep, only God doesn't outsmart himself. Everybody else does. You do, I do, everybody does. Yeah. When you fool with God who's revealed his word, you sure outsmart yourself, man. And the world will look like Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, my brethren, don't be ignorant of scriptural things. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? God came down. The appearing of God before the coming of the Son in flesh. And Sodom burned before the Son in flesh came. To take over, for a little Isaac could come, laughter could come. Couldn't have that bunch of rotten sodomites around the place.
Oh, they had the big laugh for a while, didn't they? They were all going to make us heterosexuals like them, the third sex. So God came to our aid. And now nobody wants to join their ranks. You know, anybody can mouth off, brother, sister, but it's pretty dangerous. It's pretty dangerous to blaspheme God. People blaspheme this very scripture that we preach here tonight. I'm well prepared for the white throne judgment. I'm not worried at all. For one thing, what's to worry? I'm either right or I'm wrong. Worry's not going to change anything. And I'll be like those on the white throne if I'm wrong who stand and say, well, didn't I cast out devils in your name? Didn't I prophesy? Didn't I do great works? What about that? Right in the face of God. We'll be no different. Kind of grabs you, doesn't it? What if you're right? Got your hair in the world. What if you're wrong? It's too late. You threw your lot in. I can't believe that. Your brother, I got good friends. What do you think I got? People have supported me on the field for years and years. People I've loved. Don't have a clue. Far as I know, what can I say? I got nothing against it. It's just somebody's got to be right. Somebody's got to be wrong. Very few are going to be right, brother, sister. Very few. Search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of the word. They tell of the Logos in this end time. They are they that testify of truth, tell the truth about the Logos, what's in the word for this hour, the things that God's doing in this hour, this Brother Brand said. Now watch, they that have the Spirit of God wait for these things. Now who's he talking about? Number one, he's talking about himself, the prophet. Number two, he's talking about those like the lady at the well. I had an experience like that myself. She said, I'm waiting for Messiah. He's going to be a prophet. Since I was 22, I waited for the prophet. And I really knew who he was in 1936. I was 22 years of age. 27 years later. Three complete cycles of nines. I knew who Brother Branham was, that prophet for this hour. And the finality. I waited. I didn't look in the crack. I didn't crack the book of Revelation to learn. I didn't listen to anybody. It said it's going to take a prophet. And I didn't know my Bible said it's going to take a prophet. I read Amos, no doubt. What did Amos mean to me any more than Hezekiah or anybody else? Well, I couldn't place it. I knew God spoke to prophets and this thing, so what? But I knew to take a prophet. Open the book. Prophet came and opened the book. The prophet and the woman at the well. Brother Branham is not talking of those who catch the spirit of the hour, then try to do something about it. I don't know if you know anything about Dr. Oswald Smith or not. Famous Canadian preacher in Toronto. I think he was the one. I'm not 100% perfectly sure, but I think perhaps this could be the one. 2 Samuel, the 19th chapter, beginning at the 9th verse, David's return to Jerusalem, and all the people were at strife, all the tribes of Israel, saying, the king saved us out of the hand of the enemies, and he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines, and now he has fled out of the land of Absalom. And Absalom, whom he anointed over, is dead in battle. Now therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing back the king? So, they got together and said, hey, shouldn't we bring the king back? Let's do something about bringing the king back. And the time Brother Branham came on the scene, which is 1946 and all the glory of the ministry, it would be that time and later that Dr. Smith and these men began screaming, let's bring back the king. Let's do something. Let's bring back the king. Let's bring back the king. Oh, let's bring back the king. Great revivals, everything. Let's bring back the king. I kid you not, I know what I'm talking about. And you were part of it in your denominations to bring back the king. And what have you brought back? The devil. Pure and simple, godless denomination and hand-picked
devil men, not God men. Couldn't wait. Caught something. Couldn't wait. Now you see why I keep on telling you how it was a certain brother sat in the meeting and said, ah, the voice said, that's Bible. You should do that. I sat there, and I'll be honest with you, I was not in the lovely, fine spiritual fettle he was in because I was backslid. Quit preaching. You see, you ought to quit again. Another preacher said that, but I got news. I'm not quitting. You can quit, but I'm not quitting. You could all leave. I'll preach to my wife. They send the taste back. I'll say, my duty's over. Thank God. I'll sit down then, eat my well-buttered piece of bread and cream cheese, and I'll be in good shape. Sure. See, what said to me was, that's the man to listen to. Strange. I was in places for many, many years where we saw the power of God. I saw the power of God manifested so supernaturally that I would have no excuse on Judgment Day. There is a God, but I didn't know him as I should have known him. So bring back the king. Let's get that spirit. Then let's use that spirit to our end. Then we will be big shots. We will bring back the king. Well, now they didn't say it that way, but it comes out that way. Yeah. See? Too bad. See, they have the, now, they that wait upon the Lord, they have the real spirit there. Now, and when they see, that's the prophet sees, and the women at the well, that's you and me, those things, they believe those things. William Branham, how could you believe that was really what you said? I said, I was there, and I was caught up. So Swedenborg. Just a minute, wasn't there a great man like David, like Daniel?
Yeah, but you wouldn't consider yourself evil, like that.
Now, you think that's strange, what I'm saying. But that isn't strange. How'd they treat Jesus? Right. They're not going to treat him any different, but worse. In this hour of his manifestation. Okay. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him. And all that the Father has given me, he is the word will come to me, they will come to me. Number one, that's the prophet. Drawn by the manifestation. Number two, it's the people drawn. By the word in and through the prophet. Now notice what Brother Branham says. I've been pretty rough this morning. He ought to have me along to help him. See? They that wait on the Lord, waiting. And when they do, they see that promise of today being vindicated. Now, Brother Branham is telling you something. He knew this was to take place. Sure he did. He had the vision of it. And the clap of thunder was so great upon his soul, his mind, his spirit, and it collapsed. They said, oh God, is this my death? This couldn't happen to a man and the man lived. He waited for it. He didn't rush around trying to make it come to pass. The vision said, now look, when you see your fence in rubble and this happens, that's the time you go west. So he went west. He told her right down the line, they that wait upon the Lord will be drawn by the Father, and all the Father owns will come to him. There'll be none you'll miss out. You see, they that wait, they see the promises of day vindicated, and it renews their faith in his word because he promised it, and here he is doing it. What do you think it did to Brother Branham's faith? How could he speak with such absolute assurance? You get any other man's tapes, his sermons. Oh, they talk with assurance, but you can tell back in their minds they're full of doubts. But you could talk to William Branham, and you knew he knew what he knew. See? Here he is doing it. Then there's no doubt. God speaks, his word first speaks, and then the spirit that's bringing it does the thing that the word said it would do. Now, you know that's Deuteronomy 18. Or we have lots of impersonations. We'll still have lots of them when I'm gone off the field, he says. Men of sincere hearts, now watch, men of sincere hearts, trying to do things this way and that way, but watch what happened. When people put their hands forth, as in David's time, they died. Mark 7:7, in vain do they worship me, having their own ideas concerning what is right about a certain thing they know to be there in that word, and they will ruin it every time. Notice, no man's scheme of denomination will ever work. That's joining church and building all that stuff. Making members of their own self-made denominational ark. God never did have a denomination. He never will have a denomination. It's a man-made thing. In other words, ecumenism won't bring it to pass. A revival to preface the return of God will not happen to them. Remember, Noah was the only messenger. Yeah. And people hated Noah. And you know it, because they wouldn't come in. And he that hates the servant of God hates God. How they love to mouth the scripture that says, how can you say you love God if you hate your brother, and you've seen your brother, and you've never seen God? Well, how can you going to love somebody that you haven't seen, and you go ahead and hate the one you do see? I bring it right to the prophet. If they hated the prophet, how are they going to love God? There's just no way. You know that, and I know that. Remember Noah. And I wonder today if all of our drawing in and great crusades and revivals, if we haven't been filling up the Methodist ark, certainly, and the Baptist ark, certainly, the Presbyterian ark. What about the ark of Christ the Word? William Branham himself put 750,000 believers in the Pentecostal Trinitarian ark. How many Baptists I've been responsible for putting in the Pentecostal Trinitarian ark? Don't ask me, but there's plenty of them there. Because I was used to bring in the man that had the big magazine that really shot off and took in everybody. Many, many, many people took in. I know I can't bail the fellow out. He wasn't meant to be bailed up. I loved him and I still love him. But what can I do about it? What about the Ark of Christ, the Word? And if the bride is to be the Word, then she's got to be of Christ. That's right. Because they're one. Part of the bridegroom. That's what she's got to be. Then she's got to be the Word. And the word, not for his day, that's when he was here in the flesh, but the word of this day that he promised would be this day, which is the presence. How can you turn it down and be a part of it? See? Can't do it. He said he sent forth his word to mold his bride and make her. Hope we see it. Don't get some idea of your own now, and don't take somebody else's idea. And I like that. Don't have any ideas of your own, and don't take somebody else's, stick with the word. That's what a faithful pastor is all about. I know there's many other things brought in there, like keeping the people in, kind to each other and in love, and buoying them up in their spirits and praying and all these things. I know that's all there. Watching their needs, I know that's all there. But brother, sister, if you're off of that word, everything else goes down the drain. What shall it profit a man if he has a pastor that gains the whole world for them and loses their souls? Well, you paid him for nothing, except you paid him to cut your throat. Now, Gadenauer said it's a stupid calf that picks its own butcher. When he talked about the United States, what they were doing, augmenting everything that the commies have. We got a president supposed to be fighting the Russians. We got these Vances rest stand up, and they'll mouth off against the president. You're a bunch of liberal pinko. Red old mostly Democrats and a few wild Republicans thrown in there. Sure, Todd, tell we got anything? Why don't we just lay down like Eisenhower said in his tenure? Let's have plans drawn if the Russians come in. How will just let them take over? What kind of nation we got here? There's no nation left. Why would Brother Brannan or anybody pray for it? Now, you pray for individuals. You apply the token. But this nation's gone. It's finished. There's no use. You can't worry about it. It's past. If it rejected the Christ that we love, whose side are we on anyway? Amen. That's the thing. So, well, up with that. Then we're out too. Yep. Well, let's face it, a lot of people have this set little thought, love me, love my dog. But love me, love my God? Oh, no. America turned down God. Absolutely, he said they would. We're a heathen nation. Right, we are. When this nation voted a Roman Catholic president, it showed we have no right to go to any nation and preach a gospel concerning Christ. Say, well, what about the true believer? He'll keep his rights, brother, sister, if he dies for them. Don't get some idea of your own, or don't take anybody else's. Remember, a woman in Europe told me that she heard from God that he told her to stick to this brother over there in Germany. She just knew that was God, and I knew it wasn't God, so I walked off. You know what? Just keep your eyes. I've told you dozens, if not 100 times over this pulpit. Sin has a manifestation, and unbelief has a manifestation. And I have yet to see the preacher that doesn't go into adultery or gross sin by turning on this word. Now, let me tell you something. You start looking for character, you'll find it, but you won't find it outside of a true revelation. It's going to get worse and worse. I hope you're listening because you're going to need it later down the road, brother, sister. You'll need it down the road. She's got to be the word not for his day, but the word for this day. What's the word for this day? Matthew 12. What's the word for this day? 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 to 10. 2 Thessalonians 10, concerning the truth. See? Take the vindicated word. What's a vindicated word? Revelation 22 and 10, where the seals are open and you can't seal up the prophecies any longer. They're all open before us. God has promised in his word how he would choose his bride in this last day. Did you know that? He promised it, how he would do it. It was to be by his original plan of choosing. Christ choosing the time, choosing the season, how he would do it. He can't miss it on his bride. In other words, he can't escape doing it. For this bride, it's got to be in the rigid pattern of the format. Your formula must be one, because she's part of the word. He can't choose it by denomination when he didn't choose Christ by denomination. Did Christ come by denomination? Did he come by denomination? No. They rejected him. Well, that's what denominations did then. Then when he chooses a bride, can he come any other way? How did he bring Christ here? By the word of the prophets. Is that right? In other words, if you want Christ in your midst, you want Christ to come in the appearing, you want him to come in the coming, you want any of this, you have got to acquiesce that God is duty-bound to use a prophet. There's no other way, because the prophet alone can bring the word. Now remember, Brother Branham is speaking here of the choosing of a bride. Now you remember this choosing of the bride is a sermon that he preached in California, based on a vision he had of the first age bride and the last age bride, and they are one and the same. But there's a make-believe bride that is a rotten prostitute to the word of God, and she's filthy and full of her abominations and fornications and her lewdness before Almighty God. And she claims to be a bride, and she isn't a bride. She is a harlot that has been divorced. Because in Matthew 25, at this time of the appearing, behold the bridegroom, which is true. He said, I used to know he's my wife, but I don't know he's my wife anymore. The divorce is on. And that's what, now let's find the divorce. It's over here in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, so I'll just give it to you in case you don't understand what I'm saying. All right. Let no man deceive any means, for that day shall not come except the falling away, except there be a divorce. The word is divorce. Many people try to use it as catching up. It's not catching up, it's a divorce, the putting away. So you see, she's been put away. She's finished. There's no mercy left. That's what Brother Branham can say. The blood is off the mercy seat. You can say a lot of things. Intercession's over. Say a lot of things. When you pinpoint it, what he's speaking of, you can understand exactly what he's saying. Certainly that's true. Somebody said, well, intercession's not over for us. That's exactly right. He's holding us in there. He ever lived to make intercession. And he's got a stronger arm than ever because he climbed on the throne. You know, we're in the most satisfying position the world has ever seen since the Garden of Eden. The most satisfying position. The position of the greatest strength. Never has there been an hour like this one. But the people miss it. They don't get it at all. See, they just can't seem to get it. So, By the word of the prophets. That's 2 Thessalonians 1, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1, based on 1 and 7. There it is, the ring of angels, Christ himself manifested the great appearing, and that's just part of the appearing. That's the capstone of the appearing. He was appearing since 1933, June the 11th. How did he identify him when he came? By a man with the spirit of Elijah coming upon him, coming out of the wilderness. How will he identify his bride? He promised in Malachi 4 the same thing before he destroyed the earth like it was in the days of Sodom. In other words, everything that you're hearing about tonight is wrapped up in a prophet called Elijah at the end time. And when you can identify him, you are identified with him. You're on your way. But don't just mouth it. Remember, Sodom burned. Is that right? Well, this world is to burn. Jesus said so. It'll be at the time, like Luke 17, chapter, the 30th verse. In the days it'll be like Sodom and Gomorrah, then the Son of Man shall be revealed. Didn't say coming back to earth. And when would that happen? According to Malachi, he'll burn the earth again. The righteous in the millennium will walk out upon the ass of the wicked. Is that right? See, we're at the end time. We're sitting here at the door now waiting for him to come. That's to come how? Immortal in flesh. Immortal flesh. He's already appeared. Not in flesh, but in the form of the Holy Ghost and a pillar of fire. Notice, God promised in his word that he would choose his bride by his original way, that he chose his bridegroom. He foretold it by the prophets and sent a prophet to identify. The prophet said, sitting on the banks of Jordan, there stands one among you. I changed that word if he'd used behold, but he shouldn't have used it. They said, you're Messiah, aren't you? He said, no, I'm not Messiah. You must be Messiah. No, I'm not he, but he's standing among you. And his shoes I'm not worthy to loosen. Now, it's promised to be the same in this hour. What? Identified by the one that's amongst us. Rather, he identified the one that's amongst us, identified to us by the prophet. And today, standing amongst us in the person of the Holy Ghost, manifesting himself more and more, coming into his church, making himself known, because he, the groom and the bride, will be the same, making himself known. You telling me what's going on? Now, I can't understand why people can't understand that. Now, you say, well, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. That's it. That's it? You, the little Holy Ghost in you? You better watch your mouth. Wash it out with Lysol and nitre, like Jeremiah suggests. Better cut your tongue out. That's not you. The one standing in the midst is a different thing. How can this be exactly like John the Baptist if there wasn't someone there to present, to identify the one in the midst? See, never forget what he said on the token for the Exodus. God went down to Moses into Egypt. And there he manifested himself, not only in signs and wonders, but visibly. Same thing today. The cameras took the picture. That one there. Where is understanding anyway? See, believing the prophet does not make us lose our mind. We get the real mind. And one day you'll see that the one you felt in your heart and see his identification will become personalized before you. Well, he's telling you what you felt in your heart about God, what you're feeling out here from the presence, all these things, what you feel because you know reality. You will see that one made flesh in front of your eyes. According to the word of the prophet, when that spirit that's in the midst of us becomes incarnate to us, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus does all three in descending. He brings the message. He raises the dead. He picks us up and takes us. That's all in the form of the Holy Ghost. The Lord said to my Lord. Jehovah said to Adonai. So Jehovah, God, takes us to Adonai. The lover. You think the bride's going to stand there and not see your lover? But in that song for Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly while the near waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storms of life are past. Safe into the haven, guide, O receive my soul at last. What are you talking about? You're not going to see something real there? Certainly. You think you're screaming now? Wait till you come to that day, you'll start screaming. You know what a scream is? You know what love is. All the strings, all the things that held you down, your little ambitions, this and that, your little complexes, your guilt feelings, they'll all go. You won't need to worry anymore. your love will strike home for the first time, as you always wanted to strike home. Sure, what he says there. You become personalized before it. Then you and he are one. That's in this hour. You're right now in the union. He has given us of his spirit that we might recognize him. Like Brother Branham said, the little eagle had that little life in him. When he heard the scream, he knew the great screamer. Was the little life in the eagle the great screamer? No. He had a little scream from the big scream, right? He had a little life from the great life. A drop of ocean water from the ocean. Now, that's not hard to understand. Anybody should understand that's the past 4 years of age. Then you and he are one. You've united by the word. Not you're united, but you. In other words, a process. Not you are united, although you are. How did you do it? By the word. You've done it by the word. And the, now listen, and the word was in the beginning, and the word was in the beginning. We'll go back to the beginning, which is God. Now watch that. You and he are one. You've united by the word, and the word was in the beginning. We'll go back to the beginning, which is God. In other words, the word that was in the beginning. And in that day, you know, I'm the Father. Father, me and I and you, and you and me. Now, Brother Branham said that happened three times, I think really four times, according to what he said, but I can't remember the fourth one. At the day of Pentecost, now, in this hour, and at the white throne judgment. Okay. Hallelujah, we're here. Hallelujah. Not we're going to be there, we're here. To this. Now, this can even be a white throne projection. But what does it matter? If you miss the judgment here, you miss the judgment there. See? True. I'm so glad, now watch, I'm so glad to see him personifying himself right amongst us. Now, which one of us, or all of us, would like to claim, look at us. You see Jesus. Or that's all of him. If by the grace of God, my sarcasm, my irony, my rebuke can help somebody to see error, I'm glad I'm doing it. But I don't like doing it. It isn't something I relish. Personifying himself right amongst us. And see what he's promised for the word. Not what somebody's emotions, singing and jumping and dancing will do, but by his word, amen, he's making himself known. That's Luke 17 and 20. They said, when will the kingdom of God appear? He said, it'll appear, but you won't even see it. And it's amongst you now. And it's going to be amongst you again. And it's called the days of the Son of Man. Brother Brandon said, the king is here. Look, when they brought the temple, they built the temple and brought the ark into it. God went in there with the pillar of fire. Amen. It was David jumping and screaming. It was all the singers and priests carrying on when they were out of the will of God. But when God identified the ark in his place and position, before they could get the ark in there, here came the pillar of fire leading the way, right down over the cherubim wings, and right in behind the holiest of holies, his resting place, the pillar of fire. All right, now, what we're looking at here is once we've arrived at this spot, the pillar of fire must come on the scene in order to lead us into the millennium. It's exactly true. And the glory of the Lord was in there till the ministers couldn't see how to minister. Amen. Now watch. It'll close the eyes of every theologian when he comes for his bride. Now he's already come for her. God has come. See? Behold the bridegroom. Not cometh, behold him. And they went out to see him. Should be taken up in the middle of the night, as it was. In other words, as it were. Not middle of the night necessary. He actually put it, I think, at 9 o'clock in the morning in America. It could be. I don't want to attach anything to that at this point because I've never studied up on it. Should be taken up in the middle of the night, as it were, to them. That's to them, it's the middle of the night. They won't even see her go. Oh, praise be to God. In other words, it'll close the eyes of every theologian when he comes for the bride. That is the conditions of the rapture. See? Now, you know these prognosticators, they get up and they say, now this is going to happen, that's going to happen, nothing's going to happen, and then you'll see this happen to the stock market and all these things. And there, some are pretty close, but we're not going to worry about that. Others come along, and they're good diagnosticians, and they say, okay, look, I'm a doctor, and this will happen first, and then you watch her, this will happen, and this will happen, and this will happen, and then you'll see she'll die. And they're right on button. And the doctor came, William Branham, prophet of God, and he said this, and this, and this, and this, and they walked right off. They're blind. The conditions of the rapture have blinded them. The shout, the voice, the trumpet. And I wish to say here, and I hate to say it, I believe the majority of people who say they believe this message have no understanding at all of what we're talking about tonight. And the preachers will not give the people a nudge to help them in the right direction. If we are in the right direction, by the grace of God, I'm convinced we are. These messages and these tapes have helped many people get a nudge in the right direction because they get the telephone calls and they get the letters. And I know what I'm talking about, and they get the personal testimonies to me. So we thank God for what God is doing. So we just praise the Lord for that. I noticed God promised He would bring His bride out, and He promised what He would do. There would be a seed. There'd be light at the evening time. All right? That's Elijah, right? Okay, let's go to Romans 11. Let's check on this. And we're going to read, we'll start the first part. I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. I'm also an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. Jehovah has not cast away His people which He foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture said of Elijah, how he made intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life? And what saith the answer God unto him? Hey, listen, Elijah, I know you're self-centered because of your ministry, and I don't know you're my great prophet, but now I want to ask you a question. Why do you think I have you for my prophet? Just to be a prophet? That's what he said. What did God say? Hold it, boy. Don't get carried away. You know why you're here? I got 7,000 people who haven't bowed the knee. So that's why you're here, Elijah. Even so, at this present time, there is any remnant, according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it's no more works. There goes your denomination, church journey. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, works is no more works. Take it or leave it. You can't mix the two. Try it. Go ahead. You want to try it. Try to be your own prophet. Go ahead. Try to get yourself ready. Go ahead. Try to get yourself changed. Go ahead. Ever seen a baby change diaper? Baby can't change his diaper. You can't change your flesh. Leopard can't change his spots. The Ethiopian can't change his skin. The Bible said, though I take much nitre and soap and wash me, you can't do it. Grace is grace. And Brother Brandon said, if God ever sent any power in the church once more, it would be by grace and not by works. Amen. Yep. True, true, true. There would be a seed. There would be light in the evening time. How he would do all these things, just exactly, and by the way that he originally planted in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it isn't through denominations. It isn't through our system we're using today. We're just causing debt. People put their hands with it, that took, you know, to the ark, and die with it, die from it. See, they join a church. The Word, 7177. The Word, the evening message must carry evening results. Now watch. The evening message must carry evening results. What are evening results? Resurrection, immortality, rapture. Then comes millennium. The evening message must sow evening seeds, not morning seeds, evening seeds. And Brother Branham had a vision of Hebrews 6. Evening seed. That's when the reaper catches up to the sower. Instant. That's why you've never seen such a crop of young people as we have today. They come out of churches that are totally depraved and heathen, know nothing, which is good, thank God. And in no time at all, they're knowledgeable, full of grace and light. And there's just something about them that's literally ethereal. Quick work.
and a good work.
Evening seed. Why? Because it's got to ripen in a hurry. You get a morning seed, it's got all day long. A spring seed's got all year long, months. But evening seed doesn't. Why? Because the seed sown is in its literal, perfect form already. How do I know? A prophet with the literal ministry of Jesus the Christ when he was here in flesh, and he was that seed. So therefore, any word is already perfect. That which is perfect is come. It's got to ripen. That's why the old birds like me got to pass off to sea. Maybe I don't got it, but I figure I should. And I figure I will. Time's going on slow, but it's going on. Young people are going. You say, what about Caleb and Joshua? I never said it was either one of them. Couldn't be. They had too much brains. I don't have their kind of brains and fortitude and all those things. Is that right? Now listen, he's going to explain. The midday scene. Its seed back there was denomination. It died, perished. But evening time message will show evening time light. Will show evening time results. Well, you know what that is. That's the seven thunders, the seven the seven seals, the seven thunders opened the book, the tree of life made available. We know what that is. The beginning message showed the beginning results. Made creation. He made his son in his own image in the midday. In the evening time, he makes a bride for it. He makes a bride in his image at the end time and for the groom. See? By what? His word. Now, he's going to explain that. How did he form the earth? How did he speak in existence? By his word. Who was his son? The word. In the beginning was the word. The word is with God. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. How would he take his bride? By the word. Not by a new cart. Not by some theologian's idea, but according to his word identifier. Don't put one thing to it or take one thing from it now. Leave it that way. What's he telling you? He's telling you categorically that there is a word for this season and how things will be, and don't mess with it. Look at it and receive it and walk in it. It's exactly what he's telling you. No big mysteries here. Not trying to say, look up this, look up right that, listen to this, listen to that. He's telling you flat, this is it. This is what you go by. You don't need a million scriptures. Well, I said, brother, there's something here in Zechariah I don't see. Well, fine, you don't see it. So try to eat the cake that you don't have. Try to wear the shoes that you haven't got. Try to warm yourself by a fire that doesn't exist. How stupid can you get? You know what, Chuck? You got an exalted opinion of your big, fat, stupid head. You don't believe a prophet. We like those preachers who said, well, if Brother Branham were here, he'd admit I was right and he was wrong. Because he was riding on a little horse which signifies the power. And as the powers took off and Brother Branham went to the eternity, his little old horse came back here. And then when he tried to get on, the horse was gone. Better be Balaam and ride your mule, kid, instead of think you got some charging horse. So if you think you can spend the money you haven't got, which is what's fooling everybody because the plastic money seems to be doing it. But there cometh the day of reckoning. He said, well, I'll just go ahead and I'll just get into bankrupt court. I wouldn't if I were you. Let him take your shirt, but keep away from that bankrupt court. I'm not at liberty to say things over this pulpit here because they go out on, this one goes out. Sometime if I feel like it before the tape ever gets on the wheel, I'll tell you about it. You don't do that. Don't you do that. Just because the law says certain things doesn't mean God believes in it. Prophet says, pay a nickel at a time. Amen. He did it. Well, they could do it in that days. Well, you got a buck instead of a nickel, right? Buck at a time. Okay. Evening time, he promised he'd reveal, open those seven seals, show what these churches had missed back there, Revelation 10, Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30. Certainly they didn't have that. This is for today. He said he would do it, so let's not mix it up. Luke 21, not Mark, not Matthew. Huh? That's what he said. Sure, we're not kidding ourselves. Let's keep it right like that, see? See, all seals open. Revelation 22 and 10. Don't seal the book. Don't fool with it. Why? Because he that's righteous, righteous still. He that's filthy, filthy still. They that wash their robes, stand in the water, separation, wash the robes, have a right to the tree of life. Let me in closing, it's about pretty near 15 minutes and 12. Let me in closing say this. Friends, listen, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or in the name of the Lord Jesus, these things are too plain for you not to believe it. Now, I feel like Brother Branham. It's just too plain. It's too plain for you not to see it. Surely you can see that. Surely the world could see it. Now, don't be influenced by these new fandangles and things they got today. I don't care how good men they are, how sincere they are. If they don't speak according to the law and prophets or according to William Branham, thus saith the Lord, vindicated prophet, there's no life in them. But your Brother Branham didn't say that. I'm saying it. Based on what he said, nothing outside of this message will come to life. He told me I could say a lot of things for him. He said, see, Lee, you can tell him, but come me. He said, that wouldn't look good. Thank you, Brother Branham. You're a good friend of mine. I'll try to be a friend of yours. David thought he was right. Oh, he was sincere. But David's thoughts don't count as what God said. Those priests thought they were right. They were sincere. Sure they were. But they just failed to consult the Lord about it. Or how could they have done it? Maybe they said, we prayed true. Oh, that's a good Pentecostal hogwash. Remember years ago back in Canada, this Pentecostal bird pulled the dirtiest trick on me anybody could ever pull. And I confronted him. Well, he said, I prayed about it. I said, then why don't you pray to rob a bank? I said, look, but sin is sin. You don't pray about it, you shun it. I never trusted that guy from that minute on, and I never will trust him. His mouth showed exactly what he was. Forget it. We prayed true. What do you mean prayed true? What's praying true got to do it? Well, I'm going to pray and the Lord will send a prophet because I don't think I like Bill Branham too well. The own prophet. Oh, you can do that. Oh, sure, you can do that. Oh, they're all done it, doing it. Why, the Armstrong guys had their prophet. He'll have the finest underwater auditorium in the West Coast pretty soon. Millions of dollars will go down the drain, literally. I got no pity for that stuff. I don't pity it all. Why should I pity it? I'm sorry that people are in ignorance. I'm sorry people are being hurt. But I'm not going to side with that stuff. Why should I? How's people understand about me? They can't understand why I take a stand with what I believe. I'm supposed to kowtow and say, well, I really don't believe it. I'm just pretending. You guys are right. Hogwash, they're right. I am right. I wouldn't be preaching it. Amen. You think I'm preaching this for the money that's in it? And the money's going to burn? I say, well, Lord, I made a lot of money down there. I tell you, I'm going to buy you off. I didn't make that much money. Buy him off in the first place. He said, the cattle upon 1,000 is the silver and the gold of mine. What are you going to give me? Well, what you had and I took, I'll give back. Why'd you take in the first place? You know as a hard master that I reap where I don't sow. I want to tell you something, brother says, this thing's serious. You don't back away from these things. You're made a heathen and an unrighteous person because you dare to believe God and worship God in a certain way. You don't let anybody fool you. If we're wrong, we're wrong. I'm sorry. If we're wrong, we're wrong. I don't believe we are wrong. I don't believe that. We prayed too, but that wasn't God's way of doing it. What was his way? The hour that was to come and did come had a word for it. And it wasn't how much you prayed or what you didn't do. It was what you believed when God did it. That's what counted. They said, what work can we work? I'll tell you the work. He said, the work is to believe. And that's the hardest job there is. You got to bring your thinking down. I think it's great the way the Lord so vindicated us that anybody can't see vindication here, doesn't he? He's not even want to look. You're still steeped in your old traditions. I'm sorry for you. Well, let me tell you something. If I can leave Pentecost, you can leave Catholicism. If I can leave Pentecost, you can leave Baptist. Because the Pentecostals had more than any Catholic church has ever had from the first century, and all the Baptists and all the rest poured together could never approximate a Pentecost, and you know it because they're all turning to Pentecost. So what I had as a kid, I had more and better than anybody living in the world. I didn't have as big a measure as some. I admit, but we had it. We were the cream. Now the cream is gone sour. Life has gone out of it. I knew it would go out. Oh yeah, I knew it. Holy Ghost showed me that something was wrong. Yep. Eagle in a chicken coop. Sheep in a pig pen. You soon find out. I'm calling anybody chicken and pig. Just telling the truth. Now, he promised he'd do nothing until he first revealed to his servants the prophets. Okay, trying to serve God. Who is the foremost servant of God? Prophet. Let's look at this for fun. I mean, for real spiritual enjoyment. I like it anyway. Jesus was the prophet. But they never recognized him as prophet. And when he's spoken of, he's called the apostle. Huh? Paul was a prophet. He had to be. But he always called himself an apostle. William Branham shunned the word prophet as much as he could. But he always said, I'm a missionary, which is an apostle. Now, what does the apostle do? He puts the church in order. And the apostle of our calling, the great high priest, the king, the shepherd, in the form of the Holy Ghost, is here to put his church in order, and he manifested it through a prophet, apostle, William Branham. See, servants, the prophets. And there stood Nathan right amongst them, and they never consulted him at all. And they never consulted William Branham either. Now read the next few chapters of Chronicles there, and you'll find when David sat in the house and said, is it right, Nathan with him, that I should live in a house of cedar and the ark of God under the tents out there? And Nathan found from the Lord what to tell him. David had done wrong, so God said, tell my servant David I love him. I made him a name like great men in the earth, but I can't let him do it. See? Because he failed me. I can't let him do it. I'll bring a man along. His son shall raise the everlasting house of God, and that was David. What David is that? That's Jesus. He's talking about the son of David. That's David, of course. Which Solomon typed it, but then he failed also. Every man has got to fail. Every human being's got to fail. That fall. Fail or fall, same thing. God is the only one that can't fail. Like I said, God can never outsmart himself. Everybody else does. God doesn't outsmart himself. I'll outsmart myself. Oh, I've outsmarted myself so many times it's pitiful. You'd think I'd learn, but, well, you know, he can't fail. That's one thing God cannot do is fail. And God is the Word. And the Word, no matter how it looks like it's going to come this other way, it'll come just exactly the way the Word said it. Now, that is a tremendous statement you can slip right over and not realize. We can see many things that we think could be a better picture of a fulfillment than what is the true fulfillment, but God never, ever deviates from fulfilling His Word. See? Now remember, we've got to follow the season, the time. What's the season? Harvest time. And what season you're in, what time, and that makes that, and make that vindicated to see that it's the truth. Now okay, is it the harvest? Is it the time for the sight of the Son of Man? Yes, then if it is, it's the time for the revealing of the Son of Man, which is the days of the Son of Man, which is the appearing of the Son of Man. You say, well, I agree, Brother Bill, but you see, I don't see it that way, though I agree with the scripture you say, but not how you say it. Well, that's my friend, I have a prophet that's vindicated. Well, if you think so, then that ends it. But harvest time says the seed will look like the seed that was planted. Show me anybody that had what William Branham had to look like that seed. Now take all these musts, all the word, all the types and the things, and look where you're sitting. Think of the four the hour we're living in. Looking yonder that nearly one-tenth of the earth is ready to fall in, and science says that they're looking at the clock. They said a few years ago it's only 2 minutes to midnight, maybe a minute, maybe it might be a minute and a half now. They said it won't happen in our generation. And what do the scientists say? It could happen in 5 minutes. And notice the next thing he said? 5 years. I never said that now. The scientists said that. I never said it. The people are swarming away from California like flies. See? Well, the day that Lot went out of Sodom, California, the same day fire rained down on the earth. One of these days, God's going to take our message and we're going to leave here. One of these days, God's going to take our message away from the people appearing. We're going to leave here. He's going to get his real message out of the world by taking the bride up, because she alone's got it. Something's going to happen, sure enough, then, when the church is gone, his bride, his body. I want to read you some scripture. It's Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter. Listen to the prophet speak. Moses had been in the presence of God. He knew what he was talking about. Listen. Here it is. Now, therefore, hearken is one of the statutes and judgments. I read this before to you, which I teach you for you to do them, that you may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God, your fathers give you. You shall not add one word that I command you, neither take or diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. This is the word of God. And Paul said, the commandments of God is the ordinance of the word of God. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did to Baal-Peor. For all the men that followed Baal-Peor, the Lord thy God has destroyed them among you. All denominations gone, everything is gone, you're pure bride. But you did cleave unto the Lord your God, you're alive, every one of you this day. You'll make the resurrection, you'll make the rapture. And when thou shalt beget children, and remain long in the land, and they'll corrupt themselves, that's that, make graven images, or likeness of anything, and shall do in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke anger. Listen, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land. And where you go over Jordan to possess it, you shall not prolong your days upon, you shall utterly be destroyed. In other words, when this message goes out of the earth and the bride's gone, it's destruction, destruction, destruction. Now listen, brother, sister, this word that Moses said prepared them to live in the land that God gave them. This message prepares us by giving us immortality to go in. This was Moses speaking to Israel after he'd been vindicated by God to pillar fire and knew he was proven to be God's servant lead up. And before they went to land, before then, Moses said, now the words I've spoken to you, I call heaven and earth to witness against you. It did. Heaven right there, and earth down here. Every sign and wonder, witness against you. If you add one thing or take one thing, because the vindication was for thus saith the Lord, you take one word, you'll not stay in the land that the Lord, that God gave you. In other words, you'll never make the rapture. So I say in the name of Jesus Christ, don't add one thing. Don't put your own ideas to it. You just say what is said on those tapes. You do exactly what the Lord commanded you to do. Don't add to it. Now that's why we take these word by word. He as ever, keeps his promise to us. Every promise that he has made, he's kept. Has he told you what would happen, and did it happen? I bring heavens and earth before you today, says William Branham, in a challenge that God ever, has God ever said anything that he has not fulfilled and done exactly what he said he would do for us? That's through him as a prophet. Has he done it just the way he said he would do it? That's exactly so. So he'll continue to do it. Just don't add to it. Don't take from it. Now listen, he's gone now, but the message will be absolutely thus saith the Lord. He said it. It'll come to pass. Just believe it. Walk humble before the Lord your God. We're nearing the going into the land. Then you won't return. You won't return to this type of a life again. You'll return as an immortal being. You'll turn when sin is done away with, when Satan is bound, and for 1,000 years you'll live upon this earth that the Lord thy God's given thee, for the meek shall inherit the earth. That's those strangers. Blessed is he that doeth all his commandments, that he may write to enter the city, that's really wash his robes, and for without her sorcerers, liars, whoremongers, and dogs. You're getting ready for New Jerusalem, brother, sister. Don't take some new thing. They're flying everywhere. There'll be more to come. But don't take these new things. The Lord your God's declaring you what is truth. The Lord your God's vindicated what truth is by his word and by his spirit, not by power, not by might, but by the spirit of the Lord. That's exactly true. What happened in his ministry? God seeks those to worship in spirit and truth. That's this message, to believe the word. Thy word is truth. He's thoroughly vindicated that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, today and forever. Genesis 18 and so on. He showed the evening seeds to you. That's right. He's revealed it in the Word. He's proven it to you by His Spirit. In other words, the Word for this hour has been revealed to you. Don't ever try to start an organization. Thank God. Don't try to build up upon anything else. Stay humble before the Lord your God. That's why, don't do a thing that's going to be jittery. Get you wrong? Now, then let us go in with true singing and rejoicing when the bride and groom takes his place as throne. Live humble, live loving, love one another. Don't ever get anything among you. If you see something coming up in your heart against somebody, get it out right then. And Satan will do his best to get among you. See, don't let that happen. Some slick-tongued fellow might come and try to take it away from you. But do you think they could talk Moses out of the presence of God where he stood there and saw it? You think you can talk us out of this? What we see? No, sir. No, we don't take from it or add to it. Just leave it what it is. That's it. Just keep it the way the Lord said. We don't want any domination. We don't want any... In other words, don't build on that and say, well, hey, we got this either. Like make some kind of fetish or like a Catholic do or some Protestants. We don't want any malice. We don't want any strife. We want God. And He is the Word. Now, we're at page 41 and 197. The vindicated Word of the days of Moses was Jesus. I'm going to close here. The vindicated Word of the day of Isaiah, Elijah, John, and all was Jesus. The vindicated Word today is Jesus. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, help us to believe that, see that, and walk in it. We ask it in Jesus' name. The Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, not a man, God, but it comes by a prophet and to the prophet. The token itself is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Himself shall descend with it from heaven with a shout. That's exactly what has taken place. He is now here with the voice of the archangel because the shout is over as far as the revealed word is concerned. It's been given. There's no more messengers. This is it. Because William Branham cannot come up before the immortality. Immortal. The stage of immortality. So therefore he said you have everything now under the seven seals to give you, put you in the rapture of immortality. So this is what we're walking in. We are walking in the truth, what Brother Branham said. The gates of hell are against the understanding of His presence that He is here, He's here now. All hell rages because one man was authenticated by God to do it. That's why we don't brook any interference with the word of the prophet or try to have any thoughts of our own or any creeds or dogmas or any formula. Well, little strength we have, we have from God, and we have plenty of that if we'd only just give into it. But let our minds be renewed by what we've learned. And so you can see that this message, once more we see God in His prophet. And that's what you're to understand. You're to understand we accede to the prophet, William Branham. We do not stand as men individual anymore. We say, I have no thoughts of my own. I have no understanding of my own. I have no ideas. I have nothing of my own. I stand here wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. God, do something. Fine. I will give you Elijah. Then God, let Elijah do something. I will if you get out of the way. Let Him do it. Sit. Now you're, just a minute, Mr. Elijah, what can you? I accept you as the one man that God gave me to do. Well, that's fine. Then you accept the fact that God is with me. I certainly do. Do you accept the fact that God is in me? I certainly do. Do you accept me that I'm God to the people? I certainly do accept that. Now we're getting somewhere. The next thing is start to obey those things we are to obey. And there are not a lot of things in obedience because this is the obedience of faith where the battle of Armageddon is in the mind. Can we strip our minds of all of our thinking? And begin to acquiesce to the truth of God and begin to understand that even the very virtues are born into us by the Holy Ghost. And unless we have the proper conduit, we cannot have the proper life. Unless there's a proper life, you cannot have the proper virtues. Now, nobody's trying to make us a great, wonderful people. We're just trying to tell the people why we stand the way we stand. It can make you awful nervous too, brother, sister. My whole day was ruined today just thinking of meeting and doing certain things, not here. My body began to just shake and go into severe reaction, which I've kept most of the day. It felt rotten when I started feeling good. And I want you to understand, that's why I keep telling you, look, you had better pray and realize we're more serious than what you think we are serious. And I hope to God my days are more numbered than I think they are. I'm not entirely destitute of strength or anything else, but it isn't any fun as far as the fun life is concerned. The Word of God is rich. These things are rich. But the responsibility and the constant plugging has got to the place where the body is pretty well worn down. And I personally don't care if it is, as long as I don't feel too rotten getting out of here. But if I got to stay here a while, I'm going to be honest, I want the best health I can possibly have and stand with the word that Brother Branham said, a servant of God, and I hope I am a servant of God, is entitled to a healthy body. There's some reason I can't get it, and have nerves and things. But I'll tell you, if you're not slugged down and plugged at, you're missing something that I'm not missing. You say, well, Brother Vail, I'll stand around the corner and just cheer you on. Well, that's fine. I appreciate that. But you've got to be slugged yourself and realize. Because the devil's got a punch coming at us. And all hell is against this special thought. William Branham had the only thoughts of God, and nobody else could contribute to it. But rather, to stand there, they could add or take away. And the gates of hell, the doors that open and bring you to the enclosure, says, he's not here. He always was. Kind of gets simple, doesn't it, when it comes right down? But there's where the thrust and the darts are. Now look, we don't want anybody getting proud and say, we understand. We know that's not it at all. We don't want anybody to be hateful. We want everybody to stand up and be counted, and don't back away, and don't let the devil come in like a roaring lion or some slicker or something or other and try to take you over. If I should be dead tomorrow morning, this pulpit cannot be occupied by default or any way or any shape or form under any consideration if you have anything from God at all. It must come by your prayerful vote that you know from God. And nobody can know for you. We don't have the time that it takes. I just thought I'd throw that in. It's good for anybody out there to know, too. People, it's back to a one-to-one. And there's every one of you today that loves this name of Jesus Christ and knows this word. You are an army within yourself. And you are a power to be reckoned with. And let no man take your crown. But I'm going to tell you, before there's a crown, you've got to have a place. Let no man take your place. So you believe there's a serious possibility? I don't think there's any serious possibility. I'm just telling you. Don't ever drift. Took me years and years. And I'm quite a drifter yet, to tell you the truth. Sometimes it takes years and years to get some kind of strength. And when you do, the devil will try to take it all away from you. Try to destroy it. Send 1,000 emissaries, he handed, to try to take it away. But I'm going to tell you, just stay with this word. Remember what the prophet said. You can't change from it. Don't add, don't take. In other words, just remember. That's the authority. That's our authority as what we're looking at. What we saw Cameron take was his authority. If we believe that authority God gave to us, then we have the true authority. So the Lord love you. I seem to sound a hard note. I'm not angry, not upset about anything. I want you to know these things, brother, sister. Who knows what tomorrow brings forth? Wouldn't it be nice to all meet in that resurrection morning, though? Wouldn't it be nice? Not that you dream about Brother Branham. But no, it's no dream. Ever had those dreams where they were so real that you found some money or something? You saw somebody, you knew you saw them, you went around for days. What in the world? What in the world? What in the world? Just a dream. They're real. Well, I tell you what, dreams are real in the sense that one day the dead are going to come out of the earth. Man, that's going to be a glorious shock. Huh? You know, you talk about chills and thrills of the right kind. Okay, let's rise and be dismissed. Let's pray for next Sunday because I don't know where we're going from that point on. Heavenly Father, again, we just want to praise your great and wonderful name. We thank you for the opportunity you had of studying this message, Lord. And I want to say, Lord, to you, it certainly was different from what I thought when I got into it. Must admit, Lord, it was far beyond my expectations to see these things, far beyond it, Lord. I can say absolutely, Lord, with the prophet, there's not one word that's devoid of life. There's not one word spoken in this hour that is devoid of Jesus the Christ. There is nothing that does not manifest and tend to give forth your glory, Lord. I only pray that our hearts tonight can receive everything that the prophet said and just lay it up in store there and let it come forth of what lies in that word itself, because we know there's life in it, and that life planted in the proper soil, which we believe your husbandry, is going to come forth in a people that's a true bride. Bless every single person here, O God, we pray, and every family represented. May there not be one missing in that great day, and above all, Lord, we know they're not going to be missing, Lord, if they belong to you, but Lord, we do know the bride can be careless, and a little bit distant, a little bit this and that, and Father, help me, and help everybody in the sound of my voice, in this building, and on the tape to get it, to make a somehow, whatever we need to make, Lord, or yield us, whatever it's going to be, Lord, to just so firmly be one with you that we will not be doing anything that would detract from your honor and your glory, but rather, Lord, moving on, give thee glory in whatever instance we could possibly do it. May your name be exalted, Lord, today, and may your temple be filled with the praises of your people, and may the joy of our heart, which is your joy from your salvation, continually bubble over like that bubbling brook of life the prophet spoke of, just because there's something behind it, bubbling it up, Lord, that life. Let it be that way with us. To thanking you for your loving kindness, which we esteem more than life. Help us to see that, O God, as the prophet did. And that's our little prayer tonight, Lord. And we know that you hear us. And as John said, because we know you hear us, we know we have the petition. So, Lord, we have the petition. May we just put it in our heart and know that it will come forth unto your glory. And now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's just go sing and take the name of Jesus with you.